Zvi. Simon Samach Tess. We're learning how to do Mu'ich. So in the Gemara says in Chulin Daf Kuf Yud Gimel that Ein Habasar Yotzi Deidamo Elam Kein Molcho Yafe Yafe. Right? The next line of the Gemara, which we've already learned previously, indicates that Yafe Mediach Moleach Mediach, right? There's Hadachah Kamaisa. But then the Mu'ich is grabbed as Yafe Yafe. So what does it mean, molcho yafe yafe? So, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, yafazer alav, which is a Rishonim generally interpret, yafazer alav melech shlo yishar b'mako mibli melech. You have to salt it so much that there's not a spot left without salt. It's got to be completely covered by melech. The yimlach deshlo yiroi le'achim also melech. And you have to salt it until it's not roi lechol machos milcho. We're familiar with that principle. The idea of ain't a roi lechol machos milcho is not found explicitly in the sugya of melicha as getting rid of dam. That's found, as we recall, in the sugya of meliach proteach. But the Rishonim generally assume, I think the Gross speaks this out here, that the same type of melicha, that's melicha keroteach, is the same type of melicha, that's the melicha that gets the dam out of food. And therefore, since we know the shiur of melicha, eino necho machas milcho, le'inyan, helps bas b'chol tarugos, likewise here we assume it's, you need the shiur of eino roi lecho machmas milcho. The eino tzarech l'harbosol melech yosu mizeh, but you don't have to add more than that. Umolcho mishnei tzadim, you have to salt both sides of the piece. Ba'ofo tzarech l'molcho gam miflim, gam mivifnim. And as opposed to meat, you generally cut up the pieces and salt the pieces. So you salt both sides. With chickens, so someone might make the mistake, they might say, I've salted both sides. But the chickens, usually you salt whole. And you scoop out all the innards first. Well, you certainly have to at least scoop out the liver and the heart, and we'll see. And so, but generally, you scoop out all the innards of the chicken, and they salt it the way you get it from the store. So, if you really want to salt the chicken on both sides, that includes the inside and the outside, because otherwise the inside will be exposed without salt. So you have to salt them on the inside, too. It's not like a special exercise about opos, it's just that for meat, you generally don't have an inside. You chop it up into pieces, and each piece is a piece. For chickens, you usually have a hollow inside, so you got to put salt there also.
Why can't I just assume that the salt travels from the outside to the inside of the chicken, just like we assume that it travels from the outside to the middle of the piece?
Because that's the middle of the piece that's not its own surface exposed to the air. The assumption is, that if you really want the blood to come out, it doesn't matter how thick the piece is. That we'll see, meaning if it's a 1-inch thick piece or a 1-foot thick piece, salt will still do, but the salt has to surround it so that there's no surface which is exposed without salt. Apparently, as long as it's surrounded, there's no surface exposed without salt, the salt does its trick. Don't ask me to explain exactly how it does its trick, although we'll discuss that a little in a few moments. But in the chicken, since the inside is also exposed to the air, that's considered a side, and the mesora is that you need to salt all the sides, that there's no exposed side, in order to get the dam out. Somehow, it's the surrounding that does it. That's yucky yucky. If, however, you forgot to salt the inside of the chicken, you only did the outside, or for a regular stomp piece of meat, you did the left side and not the right side, or the top side and not the bottom side, or the bottom side and not the top side, v'chuli, bidi eved, it is mutter. This is a machloksing, the rashba and the rush. The Gemara says, yafi yafi menach, so also sounds like you need to do all the sides. The question is, everyone agrees, lechachila, that you need to do it properly. The question is that lechachila or is that ma'akev? The Rashba assumes lechachila you need to do it properly, but b'di'evit, any salt does the trick. The Rush, however, holds a no. Even b'di'evit, if it's not totally covered, it doesn't work. And that is a machlokes in psak between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Ramah says v'yesha osur achil b'di'evet. He's quoting the Marai. These are just later achronim. Paskin like it's fundamentally the sheet of the Rush. Someone probably points that out. The hachi nohud im lo litzorech. So the mechaber paskin like the Rashba lichachila. You got to do it on all sides. Like it says, it sounds like in Menachos and in Chulin. But b'di'evet, as long as there's salt on one side, The logic is, the Rashi says, just like if you have a thick piece of meat, the salt goes all the way to the middle. So if you have a thin piece of meat, the salt should go all the way to the other end, right? The piece is 6 inches thick. The salt goes 3 inches from each side. So if it's 3 inches thick, the salt should go all the way through. And one side is good enough. And however thick it is, you can always use this example. You know, if it's 6 inches thick, you just said if it would have been 12 inches thick, the salt would have gone 6 inches from each end. So that's what he says. This is all the chachilu. But the evet salt on one side just goes straight through. The Rush says, no. There's something of being surrounded by salt, which even by the evet needs to be surrounded by salt. How do we paskin halacha le maisa? Hachinahog im lo litzorech. That the Ramah makes a pshara. He says, normally we're machra even by the evet. However, in a big shas hadchak, or hefsin ruber, some sort of tzorech, you can be makel by the evet, like the Rashba. Now, one second. He gives you some examples. Dafkin partner special kach. When is it? Something I'm going to point out that since we're only making welcome a big tzorech, so the rest of this ramah sort of flows obviously. Only if you already cooked it. If you salted on one side and cooked it, then you're stuck. So if it's a big, if it's a little piece, whatever, so throw it out. But if it's a big tzorech, then you can be mako. Aval mona special dying voyevashlenu kach. Ella im hu tokyu beishos shenimlach yasur v'yimlach tzara shenis lo nimlach adayim yivashlenu achar kach. Here he's bringing a concept we haven't gotten to yet. But what he says is that, look, we're only make it when you're really stuck. So even if it's an expensive piece of meat and, you know, you're not Bill Gates, still, you're only stuck if you already cooked it. Because once it's cooked, if you say it has dom, the dom gets cooked into it and it's treif. So we're make it and said all the dom went out. But if you haven't cooked it yet, then you have two options. If it's within 12 hours yet, we say within 12 hours, it's still sort of flowing, and you can still keep the juices flowing and pick up the malif where you left off. So within 12 hours, just resalt it. If it's after 12 hours, it's too late to resalt, and instead you should just roast it, broil it. Because if you broil it, then even though sort of it has half the dom and half the dom went out and half the dom is still in, if you broil it, all the dom will come out. It won't go from like the bloody part to the non-bloody part. So we're not able to appreciate the Yud Beis Shos and when you roast, but let's just take his word for it for now. So Halacha L'maaseh again, L'chatchila, you got to go all the way around. Bid the Eved, if it's within 12 hours, then you can be makel, just continue the salting where you left it off, but do it better. If it's after 12 hours, you can be makel to roast it. If it's already cooked, and so it's too late, then you either have to be makel or machmir. Then if it's really pressing, you can be makel, and if it's just a little whatever, you should be machmir. That's the Ramah.
We saw machlokes back in the sixth phase between the Vega and the Shah, with Abed, with the end of the Chachila, if there was Hadafa and not, that if it was just moved up, if you did a little bit of Melah, then
a little bit of Hadafa,
you have to redo everything again.
Right.
The Shah over there didn't require a Pishah.
No, so but each case is different. It depends how what the odds were in this particular machlokus. It doesn't have to be consistent. After all, the Ramah here specified exactly the details. Maybe here these are the details, other places something else. It doesn't have to be consistent.
Would there be any cases where you could be makel before you cook it? Because it's just part, like the marshal, like you have meat, you have salt on one side, they have no more salt. It's like
you but you can still broil it.
Theoretically,
I mean, you know, the poskim don't come up with such an example, but theoretically, I guess you could. Logically, in a chanam. Logically, if it was a big enough shas hachak, l'chora, you could. You know, I haven't seen it inside, but l'chora makes sense. The shachmims of one issue here, the achronim debate, and sivkat m'chot. We're pretty machmir, right? Even with the eved, we say try something else, and you know, only if your stock is already cooked, then only if it's a sorech, you know, meaning a fairly serious sorech. We're machmir if you only salted one side. But what if you salted all the sides? There was just one spot with no salt. It wasn't 100% coverage. It was 98% coverage, 95% coverage. Then what's the din with the eved? So the shach brings down a machlokus about this. But in the end, he's machriya. The minhag olam is to be more. It's machlokis. If you have 98% coverage, is that also only for the evet? It's so rich. If it's too late and you already cooked it, or no? As long as you had both sides, it was mostly covered with salt. then we're not so makbid. So lemaisa, he's makil b'dieved, that if it was 90% coverage, you just had a few spots without salt, but it was on all the sides, you just lost a spot or two, b'dieved, that's totally okay. We don't have to worry about sorech or about any of these details. That we're totally makil b'dieved. You got both sides, just wasn't 100%. So lach lemaisa, you got to do 100% lach achila. B'dieved, if you get both sides but not 100%, it's okay. B'dieved, if you only did one side, it's only okay under very limited circumstances. You have to try to salt it if you can, or roast it if you can. If it's mamish too late and it's expensive or a big tzorich, then you can be makel.
So anything above 51, or is he saying like a daf has to be like a very high percentage?
He doesn't say exactly where to draw the line. Lachora, he doesn't mean 51. He doesn't say exactly where to draw the line. Not sure exactly where we draw the line. Okay, there's one more shach we'll come back to in Sif Katan Yud Tes. We'll mention it again. Sif Hei tells us, Acher shenimlecha hachaticha in chotach mimena eino tzarech lachshav luach vachem achtach. It might sound it's obvious, but it's taka not so obvious. After you finish salting, if you salt a big piece, right, there's some uncomfortable, some level of discomfort with salting a big piece. We see in the Shas of Katan Yud Tes already, burnt down machlokes Achronim about Rishonim about this. That the Mordechai said, well, you can't salt big pieces. You have to salt thin pieces because how can the melach go all the way through it? If the piece is this big, it's a whole cow. How's the melach going to go all the way through? We don't pass like that. We say you can salt even a big piece, and somehow it'll get all the dam out. Now, how exactly does that work? You can salt a big piece and somehow get all the dam out? Really? First of all, really salt gets all the dam out? I mean, we know there's like red stuff left after salting even. And no matter how big the piece is, salt's going to get the dam out? It seems a little like a little bit of a chiddush. So this is a three-day machloket Rishonim mentioned by the Prima Gadol in his Hakdama here as to whether salt melicha really works to get all the dam out. The Rambam writes, it's Mefurish Rambam, in Macholos Asuros, Perek Vav Halacha Yud, that salting doesn't get all the dam out. The Rambam writes that, I mean, this is, I don't know if people are knowing, I'm pretty sure Sfardim aren't knowing this, I don't know, maybe the Temanim are knowing this way, it's a big chumrah. He says that salting only gets the basic surface dam out, but it can't really get all the dam out of Chaticha. Then how can you eat meat? So the Rambam says, after salting meat, you need chalita birotchin. Someone tell me the English word for chalita, I'll tell you what it means. It's, you don't cook something the normal way. You first boil the water up really, really hot, and then throw it into the boiling water, and it's somehow like...
Sear.
Is that called searing? Okay, you sear it in hot water. Great. I think that somehow... Someone correct me, or actually, I don't know. Probably none of us here are such a I think what searing does, it like locks the juices inside or something. Great, that's exactly what the Rambam thought. The Rambam says salting gets out some of the dam, you know, on the surface, so it's not going to come pouring out right away. But then, there's still lots of dam left inside, so salting just allows you to sear it in boiling water. If you just threw it in boiling water, then the dam would be all over the place, forget it. But if you salt and get out some of the dam on the surface and a decent bit of dam, and then you sear it in boiling water, it traps all the dam inside. And remember, dam shalo piresh, dam of a var, dam of parts of the animals. We're not talking about the veins or like the end. Dam absorbed in the meat that didn't leave is mutter. The dam is only usher when you cook meat with dam because it goes into the water and back into the food. Dam shalo piresh, we learned, is mutter in Simon. Yes, Samach Zayin was it, right? Yeah, that Avalim Lo Pirish Velo Nitzer Mutter, right? Dam that never left the meat and what didn't make a black and blue mark didn't pool his mutter. So that's the Rambam says salting just gets it ready for searing and then it locks the dam inside and then Takin has dam but it's Lo Pirish, so you can eat it. The Re'ah is a little more makil, but in the Bedek Abayis. But he's fundamentally the same sheet as the Rambam. He just argues on the technicality. Malicha plus bishop or rotin. He just says, you know what? You don't have to sear it. Even if you cook it normally, that's good enough. Why? Because salting gets out the surface, the dam near the outside. And then even if you just put it in cold water and turn on the fire and cook it normally, since there's not so much dam left, then it'll get hot in time to trap the dam inside, and it'll be seared even if you don't throw it into rotin. Even if you just put it in cold water and light the fire underneath, by the time it gets hot enough to be considered bishul, it'll be hot enough to trap the dam inside, and all the dam will be trapped inside, and tak, it'll be dam. But it'll be mutter, because it'll be dam ha'ivarim shalo pirish. It'll be dam that didn't leave. So he has the same basic sheet as the Rambam, just he's more makel in the technicalities. The Rambam says you got to throw in the scalding water to trap the blood inside. The Ras says, no, even if you cook it normally, once you salted it already, if you then cook it normally, that also traps the dam inside. But according to both the Rambam and the Ra'ah, well, this Shulchan Aruch wouldn't be correct. What if you salted a piece of meat and chopped it in half? Now, right, you salted a piece of meat. All the dam went out of the surface, right? So if you throw it into the water, it'll get trapped inside. But if you then cut it in half, you have the middle here, which is full of surface dam. And as soon as you throw that into the boiling water, the dam will come out and go back in and trap it up. So according to the Ra'ah and the Rambam, if you salt meat and cut it in half, you have to salt it again. Because salting only gets out the outer layer of dam. And once you cut it in half, there's a new outer layer, which hasn't been salted yet. We obviously don't hold like the Rambam and the Ra'ah. Well, we obviously don't hold like the Rambam, because we never heard you have to buy meat from the butcher to throw it into boiling water. But we don't even hold from the Ra'ah. We hold like the Rashba. And Rav Rishonim, that Malika gets all the dam out. Not like the Rambam and the Ra'ah, it only gets the dam to the outer layer. And then if you cut it, you have to salt it again, because there's a new outer layer that hasn't been salted yet. No. We hold dam, even if the piece is a foot thick, the dam gets into that piece and gets out all the melach gets into that piece and gets out all the dam. That's the magic of Malicha. It gets out all the dam. I can salt it and then see red stuff coming out. No problem, that's gravy, that's not dam. Right? It literally gets out all the dam. That's, we hold, if Mukhrif, that's what Rimi Gunn says, he wants to know how we hold. We obviously hold like the Rashba because of this Shulchan Aruch, he says. Because if you cut it in half, I salted it, I then cut it in half, why don't I have to salt it again to get this surface and this surface? The answer is because it got all the dam out, even from the middle. 100%. It's magic. Now, of course, so we hold like the Rashba as Mukhrif from this Shulchan. This is why this is an important sif of Shulchan Aruch. And that's why it's a chiddush. The might not have been a chiddush to you because we may have always assumed like the Rashba. Okay, good. That's how we pass it. But it wasn't so. And most Rishonim say it like that. It's not like a Rashba. Stop. Lemaisa, exactly how does it work that salt gets out all the dam? Like, is it really magic? So that's, I think we'll have to be ma'ayim. We'll see there are different ways of approaching it. As you can imagine, most people understand the Rashba that literally Chazal knew, LP, their science, that salt got out all the blood. Even if there's some red gravy left, they knew that wasn't dam. They knew that salt got out all the dam bimitzius. The Rav viewed it a little differently, as we shouldn't be surprised to hear, that he held that no, malicha was a chalos matir, and once a piece is nimlach, it's not that Chachamim knew there was an Isur dam and thought of this idea called malicha based on their scientific studies, which is what most people assume. The Rav assumed, no, malicha is a halacha lo shel Sinai, that it's a chalos matir, and therefore, by definition, malicha gets out all the dam, because it is matir, the dam attribute of this chaticha. This chaticha has something called blias dam. By definition, malicha eliminates that, so it doesn't really matter whether it actually gets at all of what we call molecules of dam scientifically or not. It's a chalos matir, and whatever's left is halachically mukka mishem dam through the process of malicha. That was the rub. This is how we viewed most things in Yoredeya. As opposed to, I think, the way most people view it, more practical, balabata sense that no, we all like the Rashi and Chazal just saw that malicha got at all the dam.
In order to say what you said, you can say also if it's based on the Havana of Chazal, but we follow Chazal. And Chazal assumes this is what takes over the blood. So it's not our business.
Okay, that already begins to become more philosophical and a very important question, but perhaps I'm not going to be able to answer it. What?
So Says that anywhere?
It's chalos matter just because that's how Chazal view things? Yeah, sure. Okay. Could be. I'm not eliminating the possibility. I'm just saying then you have to get into philosophy. Yeah.
I mean, if you think, you think about it all the time, we're eating things all the time, it's also stupid things. Everything has to be halachic reality. Obviously, we're eating other things all the time, but we don't think of little bugs are flying into our mouth and stuff like that. It's not a physical thing.
Okay, I mean, this is all the distinctions here are very subtle, so we're not going to be able to get into them now. Vav, Sif Vav says she or shehi b'melach. Okay, now we're ready to salt it. How long do you have to salt it for? So she or shehi b'melach. It's funny, the Gemara never says how long you have to salt it for. Gemara never says. So the Torbing Zanamach locus between the Rambam and the Rush. But the Rambam says a mil. And that's on the Mechaber Paskins. Shir Shia B'melech Einu Pachs M'kidei Hiloch Mil is at least 18 minutes. Shu K'dei Shlisha Shah B'kiro, which is almost a third of an hour. A third of an hour is 20 minutes, so almost a third of an hour is 18 minutes. Again, assuming the 18-minute mil, which is the mainstream Shita. So you have to do it at least 18 minutes. That's the Shita of the Mechaber based on the Rambam. Where did the Rambam get it from? Most people didn't know where, couldn't figure out where the Rambam got it from. But the Gra managed to figure out a nice makor, right? The Grum is, when it comes to like putting together things from all over Shas, obviously, many of our Gedolei Rishonim Acharonim had Shas at their fingertips, but somehow the Grum was just one step beyond that. I had Shas on his, I don't know, it's more than fingertips. But the Grum says, there's a Havni in the Gemara Shavis that Malicha, not just Havni, Malicha is like Ibud. Right, Malicha is like tanning, right? Salting hides is like tanning. The Gemara thinks at first that maybe salting meat should be within the lach of tanning. And there's another Gemara in Psachim which says tanning takes 18 minutes. You have to leave the tanning means soaking hide, soaking skin of an animal in chemicals to make it into leather. So tanning takes 18 minutes. So maybe that's where the Rambam got it from, that Malicha is like a kind of ibud, and ibud takes 18 minutes. Putting together b'kiyas from all over Shas, it's the... Probably right, because I can't think of any other reason. But that's the Rambam. However, the Rush quotes from the Gaonim had a Masorah that the Shir Malicha is Kishir Tzliach. After all, we know Maliach Koroteach. Now again, Maliach Koroteach was again, we saw Maliach Koroteach, that has nothing to do with getting rid of the Dam. That has to do with causing Lias to go from one piece to another piece. But the Rishonim generally began to assume that the Maliach that gets rid of Dam is also Kiroteach. And after all, Tzli gets rid of Dam, and Maliach gets rid of Dam, and Maliach likes Tzli, so they one package deal, very reasonable. They said, how long do you have to salt for? For however long you would have to roast it for. How long do you have to roast it for? I don't know. Ask your father, and each piece of meat is different, right? It all depends how big the piece of meat is, right? You take, it also depends how big the fire is, which I never quite figured out. Maybe you take an average-sized fire. And you figure out, I don't know, this hamburger would take this long, this steak would take that long. Whatever it is, however long it would take to roast it, that's how long you have to salt it. That's the shita of the Rush. Based on this, the Ramah Paskins, l'chachila like the Rush, he says l'chachila you have to salt it for as long as it would take to roast it. But that's too hard. How is everyone supposed to figure out, I want to salt meat, how are you supposed to figure out how long it takes to roast meat? It's just an unreasonable burden to place on people. So instead, the minhag became just salt for an hour. Because, there's no piece of meat that needs to roast for more than an hour. So that's why the Ramah says, V'alzeh yish lismok v'di'eved, o afil l'chadchil, kvot orchon l'mtsor shabbos, o v'lavach yaminig l'hash l'licho shir sha'a v'in l'shanos. He says, l'chadchil, the minhag is to roast for an hour. Where did an hour come from? Again, he doesn't say, because you just go back to Darki Moshe, etc. What do we have? The Rambam, who says mil, the Rush based on the Gaonim, who says Kedei Tzliya, and Kedei Tzliya turned into an hour, because instead of having to figure out what the Kedei Tzliya is for every piece, we make a general rule, like we had by Shishim, according to most Rishonim, a general rule. General rule, an hour will cover broiling, whatever, any piece of meat that you're likely to salt. So, l'halach l'maisa, what are we paskin? L'chachila. You need to roast it for an hour. But, b'di'eved, 18 minutes is good enough, and it's not just b'di'eved, it's b'di'eved, or for a mitzvah, you know, etc. I mean, these are just examples of mitzvah. Kavod Orchim, right? And you need to serve your guests, and they can't wait. Or it's Shabbos, you know, it's going to be Shabbos, and you have to, you know, you have to put it in the pot before you have to finish salting and start cooking it before Shabbos. But in the case, if you're stuck, even if you're stuck, then you can rely on 18 minutes. Someone asked me once, I just got the shayla from a student 2 weeks ago. He said it was very cold outside, and he was salting outdoors because he had no place to salt indoors. He lives in a dorm. And he was very cold outside, and there was a cat. So he put the meat salt outside, but he had to stand there to guard it from the cat, or else the meat would be gone. So, but it was very cold outside, and he didn't have a jacket, and he couldn't go inside to get a jacket because then the cat would get the meat. And so could he rely on 18 minutes then because it was cold outside and he had to stand there without a jacket to guard it from the cat?
Why is he salting it first?
What? Why is he salting it? So he can cook it.
Okay,
I don't understand.
Where did he shefted himself?
Yeah, he shefted it. Okay. So in that case, I don't know. I figured that I was known to be machmir in that case. So whatever, you can stand outside for a while, you know, figure out some way to get yourself warm clothing or something, and I didn't think that was such grounds to be made. Oh, but I guess someone could have disagreed. What? No, he asked me this afterwards, after he took it in after 18 minutes. So I said, either way, bidyevit, it's okay. So, Baruch Hashem.
How do we know that the Rambam meant 18 minutes? It says, well, these Shulchan Aruch is like a third of an hour.
It's close to a third of an hour.
So over under.
I mean, right. So the simple answer is, because that's what the Shach says. He says it's a third of an hour minus a 30th of an hour, which is 18 minutes. The real answer is, I think, because the assumption is that, you know, lo dak v'chumra amrina, lo dak v'kula lo amrina, when people say close to, they don't mean more than, because then they would be putting a mishal in front of people. When people say close to, they mean less than, but they're just, whenever they round, that's the word sukkah says. The chacham only lo dak v'chumra. So, l'chor, that's the shach. Perhaps he knew the Rambam Shita on the mill anyway. But I think it's pretty clear that when someone says close to a third of an hour, they don't mean more than. That would be irresponsible. They mean less than. Not the 22.5-minute mill, the 18-minute mill. B'seder. Sif Zayin tells us, this is the Gemara. It says in Chulin of Kof Yud Gimel that the Ein of Asu Yotzvi Adamo, Ela im Kein Mocho Yafe Yafe, Umidicho Yafe Yafe. You have to wash it beforehand, we learned, salt it. Now we're up to the last stage. We're almost finished learning how to do Malicha. You have to wash it Yafe Yafe. So what does Yafe Yafe mean? Well, it means very well. But many Rishonim assumed, at least on the Lachatchila level to be Choshesh, that Yafe Yafe meant twice. After all, Medicho Yafe means once. So what does Yafe Yafe mean? You have to wash it twice. So we Paskin will see Lachatchila or Choshesh. Most Rishonim assume Lachatchila or Choshesh. Maybe Yafe Yafe means you have to wash it twice later. Right, that's of course the weakness of this shot, because no one says you have to salt twice. They say Malicha Yafe Yafe means you have to cover it full. So that's probably why Bidi Eved, the Rishonim write, they're in the Beis Yosef, the Rishonim write, Bidi Eved, you don't have to do it twice. It's just Lechatchila. If you ask Lechatchila, why should we take a shot which doesn't seem to be, you know, a valid Pshuto Shel Mikra in context? Yeah, the answer is Lechatchila, we want to be on the safe side just in case. But you have to wash it twice. Why do you have to wash it twice? So they explain that you have to wash it twice. Once to get rid of all the dam and melach, etc. This might be a little familiar from other areas of halacha. Once get rid of all the dam and melach, etc. But then there's still the water on it that has the blood and the salt, etc. So once to get rid of the blood and the salt, but there's still water with blood and salt. And the second time gets rid of even that water, and now it's clean legamri. Well, you see, in their days, they didn't have running water. Like, by us, you know, again, I think people do it the way it's said in the Shulchan Aruch, to the best of my knowledge, but by us, we would just say, you know, keep it under the faucet, like, until you wash it really, really, really well. In their days, they didn't have faucets, and their hadachas, generally meant putting it in a bucket of water. So you put it in a bucket of water, once, and that gets rid of all the ba'en, but it still has the dirty water in it. So you put in another bucket of water, and obviously, mathematically, there's always going to be some infinitesimal amount. But halachically, that's good enough. You put in the second bucket of water, and that does the trick. Again, you know, putting it under a real big hose you know, for long enough until, like the Rambam describes at some point, until the water is obviously clear, it'd be even better. Lechora would, but that's not the Metzius they're talking about. Now, there's another Gemara which says, rather, not another Gemara, but later on that Gemara, talks about, I forget who it was, one of the Amorim, was Menapates the Melech. If you use Melech Galanisa, he shook the salt off. So what does that mean? The Rishonim assume means before the two washings, you have to shake the salt off. Why? The first washing will get the salt off. So, and that's what, let's just look at the Mechaber for a second, then we'll explain why. Kodem Sheitin Abasar Beklisha Medichobo, before you put the water into the bucket where you're going to wash it, you should shake off the salt or give it a quick rinse. And then you should put the water, the meat, in the bucket where you are washing it. And you should wash it twice. Now, what does it mean? I mean, take it out of the water and put it back into the same bucket, the same water. It's not helping you. So he says, you should empty the kli and rinse out the kli in between. You should put the meat in once to wash it off, then pour out the water and rinse it and fill it with clean water, and then you should put it in again, and that will do the trick. Why, if you're going to wash it twice, why do you need to shake off or give a quick rinse to get off the salt in the first place? So the Shach explains, quoting the Rishonim, that the fear is, hold on a second, let's say you put it in the bucket the first time to wash off. Is the water going to wash off the salt? Or no, maybe the salt will just turn the water into brine, and the water will be like kavosh bitzir, and the water will then turn into roteach and trape up, put all the dam back into your meat. So how do you know the first washing is going to clean your meat? Maybe adrab, maybe it'll just trape up the water, because the salt will make the water into salt water, and salt water has the power of moliach karoteach, and it'll just get all the blood that's on the surface of your, you know, it's bloody after salting it. It'll just put the blood down back into your meat. So therefore, if you shake off or give a quick rinse and get off most of the salt beforehand, then there won't be enough salt left to turn the water into salt water, to turn the water into tzir, into brine, and the water will be able to beat the salt. The salt won't beat the water. So that's the first time is just to get rid of most of the salt so that the salt won't beat the water and turn it into roteach. Then the first rinsing gets rid of all the salt and dam. And then the second rinsing gets rid of the dirty water. That's the basic scheme here. Then the Ramah says V'yesh Omerim Shetzarch Ladiach. This is actually a very difficult Ramah. I think I gave you the Verhetev on it, but even that, I don't know if it's worth getting into. V'yesh Omerim Shetzarch Ladiach Abasar Shalosh Problem. Some people say you have to do three rinsings. What does three rinsings mean? We do three rinsings. He says you should rinse or shake off the salt and then wash it twice, which counts as three times. Of course, let's just clear up some space here for a second. Of course, what's the problem with this Ramah? Yeah, and also this Yesh Omrim, and that's where Noga Rechila. He's just repeating the same thing as the Mechaber. Let's pause for a second. The Mechaber says once you need to do Yenapates O Yishtov, and that's so the salt won't make the water into brine. Then Hadacha. Number one, right? So the Ramah says, you need three. The Mechaber also said you need three. The Ramah says you need three, but the shtifa or netitza counts as the first. So this is a little strange. He seems to be saying the exact same thing. He makes a whole big deal. This is our minhag, the tefila. We need three, which is not clear what he's trying to tell you. So the Berhetev examines Shach and the Taz that the The Shach says that maybe the Machaber sounds like if you hold it under a faucet, you only need two. And the Rama says even under a faucet, you need three steps. Or the Taz says, no, you have to make a Hagah on the Rama. And he says you need to shake it off and rinse it for the first step. It's very, very unclear exactly what this Rama means. The truth is the Shach at the end says maybe the Rama is just saying the same thing as the Machaber. It's just in a funny way saying that we end up the same place as the Machaber. It's a little unclear exactly what the Rama meant to add, but Lamaisa, you need three steps. Then he says, or, he says, oh, yasim amayim tochach li v'acharkach yenuch bo abbas v'yedach hinu sholosh pamu. Or you could just soak it in the bucket three times. V'hachi nahug, and this is what we do. How does soaking in the bucket three times help? The Rama says, or, you just soak it, and soak it. What, how does three times help? The first time, the salt is going to make the water into salt water and make it into roteach and be mavlia, the dam, back into the meat. So what did the third time help? It's treif to the first time. So he adds, olukachili teimayim harbe v'adachar rishona k'nei sheivat lo koch ha-melech yivat lo koch ha-melech sheh betzir. So he says, hadacha b'mayim harbe. He says, yeah, you can either do a quick rinse or shaking and then two hadachos, or you could do hadacha b'mayim harbe. If the first hadacha is b'mayim harbe has a lot of water, then since it's a lot of water, it will not allow it will dilute the salt so much if you use a lot of water that the salt will not be able to make it kiroteach, won't turn into salt water, it will just be a very mild solution. And since it's a very mild solution, you won't have a problem that it'll trace up your meat. So those are the two options the Rama gives you.
Why is that only with the
two? What? Ah, because we'll see in a second. Should we see? Are we ready to see right now? Give me 1 second. So this is all lechatchila. What about the Di'eved? Yeah. The Rama says the problem is if you just start with hadacha, instead of doing hadacha in water, you'll be doing hadacha in salty water, in brine, in sear, which is like kiroteach. So it's going to be as if you're cooking it with the blood that's on it, and that'll be a big problem. So he says that you either have to just give it a rinse or shake it off first, or if you do your first hadacha in a bucket with a lot of water, then it has so much water, the water won't be salty, because, you know, salt depends on the ratio of salt to water. If the ratio of water is so much more than the salt, then the water will still not be salty, so it will not be kiroteach, so it won't be a problem. It'll just get off some salt, and it won't be roteach and make anything go back into the meat. That's how you have a mayim harbi with a lot of water. Okay, now what about bidi'eved? Bidi'eved, this is all lechatchila. Bidi'eved, you only need step two. Bidi'eved, all you need is one hadacha. We assume, if you just wash it well once, you have to figure out what well means, but lechor, we can figure out what well means. Well means you look at it afterwards and it looks clean, right? Then you've washed it well. Same way I know if anyone washed anything well. Bidi'eved once is good enough. Oh, what about getting off the dirty water, etc.? Now, that svar is only a chash, l'chachila, that we invented this idea that still about dirty water, you need to get it off. L'maisa, halachli, that's not significant. Halachli, that doesn't count as dan. And if you wash it once, as long as you wash it well and it looks clean, that's good enough. We don't say it's clean, but the drops of water in there have dan. That's not halachli significant. So, bidi'eved, you can get away without number three. What about getting away without number one? So the Shach here points out that the Shach in Sifkat and Chavtes, quoting the Rama later on in Sifkat, bidi'eved, you can get away without step three. What about getting away without step one? That is the Shulchan Aruch in Sifkat. The Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to skip the last line of Zayin. I won't skip. Let's just take a detour and finish Sif Zayin, then we'll go to Sifkat. Sif Zayin says, Motu l'adiach adab basar mei peros v'in sarf mayim. You can use juice instead of water. Obviously, it's not going to be a common thing people would want to do. It doesn't seem very economical. But theoretically, all these questions always come up theoretically. theoretically, you can use any liquid. It doesn't have to be water. And this far is sort of obvious because any liquid will clean it. I mean, it might, you know, still be a little funny smelling afterwards or something, but if you put apple juice, that'll also clean off whatever dom you have there. So, b'dieved, not b'dieved, so you can use meperos if you would, for some strange reason, desire to do so. The big machlokas here, agav, in the achronim, what about using meperos for the first hadacha? The Ramah says you can use meperos for the hadacha after melicha. What about the hadacha rishona, the hadacha before melicha? That's a big machlokas. If you look here, the Ramah is machmir, and Rabbi Kiva Eger, if you are machmir, the Shach, theoretically seems to be Mekel, and the Taz, and the Radvaz, and Piskei Tshuva are Mekel. It's a big machlokas whether you can use meperos for the first hadacha. The machlokas, the base of the machlokas seems to be, back to the Chakir, we saw what the purpose of the first hadacha. If the purpose of the first hadacha is to wash off whatever blood is on the surface, then meperos will wash it off. But if the purpose of the first hadacha is to soften it, then it could be water is better at softening meat, and meperos will not soften meat because it's so sticky, it'll just form a hard layer on the outside instead of penetrating all the way through. So that's a big machlokes. Halach l'maisa, in normal circumstances, we never use meperos anyway. But for hadacha, for the hadacha afterward, if you want to, go ahead. For the hadacha beforehand, it's a machlokes haposkim in this seif. Any questions?
You know, for the grav of washing hands, he says you need four. The extra one is to wash out the dirty water. Is there a relation to that? Like, is there a certain sheet that's saying, like, you should always try to get rid of the extra layer?
Okay. Yavim Ma'ayin the Beis Yosef here, in the name of the Riva, who does make that connection. We're not getting into it now, but if you look at just the Beis Yosef, the beginning of Siv Zion, he quotes Rishonim to make that connection. Some Rishonim require three times based on that parallel, you know, besides the Nefitza. So, Enochanami, that parallel exists, but we're not going to get into it now. Sifches tells us what if b'dieved you skip step one. So he says, "Im lo nipit amel sh'olav lo shatfo, ein lesor ki amayim shebekli mevatlu koach amelach." If you neglected the first step, you didn't shake off the salt or rinse off the salt, you put it with all the salt into a bucket of water, b'dieved it's still okay. Lechachilu, we say, what do you mean? It'll turn the water into brine, into salt water, and it'll be like cooking it with its blood. But that's lechachilu. B'dieved, we say, the water will take away the power of the salt. B'dieved, even if you have a lot of salt and you put in a little water, even if it's a relatively small bucket, and you have a lot of salt and you put it into that small bucket of water, b'dieved, we assume that the water will, instead of the salt making the water into salt water, the water will take away the power of the salt. So he says, and even if there's just a little water, it still has the power to be mevato, the power of this brine, and still the power of mevato, the power of this brine, and it won't be kiroteach anymore. So b'dieved, so he says, you need one step b'dieved. We'll learn in Sif Test that if you don't do anything b'dieved, you could have some trouble. But lechachilu, you need three steps. B'dieved, as long as you have one step of hadacha, that's good enough. B'dieved, we don't worry about this chumrah of like getting rid of the dirty water afterwards. And b'dieved, we don't worry about this chumrah of getting rid of the majority of the salt beforehand. Because we assume that even if you put in a little water, that water will make it not salty anymore. At the very least in this case, when the salt has already been working very hard to get out the dam, even a little water will be mevatel with power. The Ramah continues. Some people are super makel. They say even if you take the meat and put it in a bucket without water, it's still okay. Now, how could that be? If you take the meat straight from the salting and put it in a bucket without water, that's like salting in a bucket. Anyone know salting in a bucket is salting in a kli? She'eino manuka. If you salt in a kli without a hole or without a diagonal, you know, if you salt in an enclosed area, then it just builds up in the salt and it grows teach and brings the dam back into it. So what's the hatter here? Why are some people matter even if I take the meat, put it in a bucket without water? So the answer is because they're not matter if I take the meat, put it in a bucket without water, and then go to the bathroom. No, that's like salting in a bucket. It doesn't get traiter than salting in a bucket. What they mean is, instead of first filling the bucket with water and then putting the meat in, if I mistakenly first put the meat in the bucket and then fill it with water right away, since it was only 10 seconds that I put the meat in the bucket until I filled it with water, in those 10 seconds, it won't have the power to be Kirill Teyach. You know, the meat is without a lot of liquid. The liquid then keeps coming out. When you salt things, liquid keeps coming out until it becomes beef jerky. Right? So if you salt after 18 minutes, it's not beef jerky yet. So I take it out. And you're right. If I left it in the bucket till it pooled up a lot of sear, that would trafe up my meat. But in the 10 seconds till I pour the water into the bucket, it won't pool enough sear to trafe up my meat, and it won't be karoteach, and nothing will happen with the eva. That's what he explains. That if I put in the bucket and then right away put the water in, it just takes a few seconds, a small time that it takes me to fill the bucket with water. Not that I have to go, you know, down the hill to the well and come up with water. But I have the water there and I pour it into the kli second. Then we don't have to worry in such a case. That's not long enough to say that it will trafe up the meat. And we can rely on this. Obviously, this is all b'di'evit. But b'di'evit, even if you took the meat with salt, put in a bucket, and then added water, that would be good enough. V'ein lachash v'cholzeh rak v'adacha rishona, aval achar dacha rishona, ein lachash. Hadacha rishona here, he doesn't mean the hadacha before malicha. He means the first hadacha, hadacha number one. So he said, b'di'evit, all you need is one hadacha, the rest doesn't matter, b'di'evit, we assume it'll be okay. V'ein chiluk v'ein midicho v'kli kosher, o trefa o choleves, and it makes no difference b'di'evit, if you salted it in a kosher kli, a treif kli, or a milchik kli. Sorry, if you rinsed it in a treif kli, a kosher kli, or a milchik kli, right, it doesn't matter because since it's in water and it's not salty anymore, then the blia can't, there's no way to get the blia out of the kli into your meat, so it's okay, even if it was a milchik kli or a treif kli, it's just soaking cold water. Soaking in cold water doesn't get the blea out of a kli. Even malicha doesn't get the blea out of a kli. Certainly soaking in cold water. No, though, here we're talking, I assume the Ramah here is talking about b'di'evit. In lachash, b'di'evit. Obviously, l'chachila, you should use a, you know, he doesn't even say here if you should have a special kli for hadacha like you have beforehand. But l'chori, you're using a special hadacha kli. But b'di'evit, no matter what kind of kli you used, right, remember, we assume no matter what you do, it's not going to be kiroteach. It's just going to be in cold water, right? Even if you put it into a little water, the water will take away the reticha of the melach and make it cold. Or even if you put it in and then pour water on it, it won't have time to be considered roteach. It'll still be considered like cold meat. So cold meat soaking in cold water in any kli is going to be fine. Bim hayim at mayim v'kli shavatol koch ha-melach. She'eino chashu od kiroteach. Afilo kli cholevis o atreifa maluch lach adayim be'isser mutter. And as long as you had a little, he adds, as long as you had a little water, even if it's a dirty tray for milchik kli, it'll still be okay. Let's just put this on the board. It's actually quite intuitive. Let's just pause it for a second. The reasons behind this. What do we have? Here we have clean chalavi or treifa bucket. And here we have a dirty bucket, which is chalavi or treif. And here we have with a little water, without water, meaning there was no water immediately, right? Then you put the water in, right? Without water until you added it in a few seconds later, right? So, if it was a clean, basically what he's saying is that if you put into a clean, even a milchik or treif kli, that's fine. And even if it's a dirty kli, if there was a little water, that's also fine. Why? The svara is, if there was a little water, then what's the case? If there's a little water, it's mutter, because it's not malicha, right? The water takes away the power of the salt. It's considered not salty. It's just soaking cold water. Cold water doesn't make a blia. It doesn't matter if it's a clean treif kli or a dirty treif kli. Even if there's lard in the kli, the lard's not going to be nibbling into your meat because it's cold meat soaking in cold water. If it's a clean kli, then even if it is malicha, what's the rule of malicha? The diavad? Ein malicha bekelim. Remember, malicha doesn't have the power to get taste out of a kli. So, a malicha bekela, as long as it's a clean kli, whether there is or isn't water, even if it is like malicha, if it's a clean kli, malicha can't get taste out of a kli, it can only get taste out of food. But in this case, that's why he says two different etera. Two different etera. If there's a little, if it's a clean kli, then even if your food is salted, it can't get taste out of a kli. If it's a dirty kli, then if there's a little water, that's okay because it's cold. But if you put it in, you have the bad luck, or the poor judgment, rather, to put it in without water at first, into a dirty tray for milk and kli, then you're in trouble because it's malicha, right? It's salted food, and you're putting it onto be'en of little scraps of milk or treif. So salt certainly has the power to be mavliya taste from one food to another food. So the taste from the little scraps of treif or milk will go into your meat and make a treif. So that's the only scenario will be okay. Otherwise, again, if the clean kli ain malicha l'kalim, nothing to worry about. And even if it's a dirty kli, if there's water in the bucket, then the melach loses to the water and it's considered cold. And cold doesn't cause a bleed. Of course, this is all b'diavad.
Even if it was transfer taste, it probably would have to be bitter.
Nah, that depends. Then you'd have to see. Then you'd have to be mayan.
But if it's malicha and there's no water, then it would only be a bitter anyway, no?
Perhaps, although it might depend if we're... Right, so it would definitely answer that klipa. You know, even if there was shisha for makra that's fat, it would definitely answer that klipa. So it would be halachikish. Okay. If test. Busser, now here's the worst case scenario, right? We already learned what happened if you skip stage 3, you skip stage 1, you just do a bare bones hadacha. That's still okay, but yet. What if, as apparently used to happen all the time, what if you skip everything? You do hadacha, malicha, but you don't do hadacha after malicha at all. You take the meat from the malicha, you can imagine. On the surface of it is a whole gook of salt and dam, melech and dam. And you cook it as is. Then what's the din? Then obviously you're in trouble if it mamish has the end of dam on the surface. So here, there's only one kula b'dievet. Jeremy, what's the one kula b'dievet? The one kula b'dievet is shishim. So that's what it says in Sif Tes. Basar shenimlach v'nisbasha b'lo hadach achrona. If you salted it and didn't do any of these stages, you didn't wash it at all, it's mamish dirty on the outside, full of dam. Sir shibo shishim k'dei ha'melach shibo. You have to have 60 to be mevato all the salt on the surface. Because the salt is full of dam. Truth is, it doesn't really matter if you're Ashkenazim or Sephardim. If you're Ashkenazim, the salt is chanan because it's full of dam. Even if you're Sephardim, since you don't know how much dam is in the salt, you have to assume it's all full of dam. So, because on the surface, like all the dam on the surface is absorbed into salt. So on the surface, there's this bloody salt. So you need shishim to be mevato that if you put it into a chicken, into a soup pot or a chilen pot, then you need shishim to mevatel the dam, or else your whole food will be treif. So if you have shishim, your whole food is kosher. If you don't have shishim, your whole food is treif. Thankfully, we are not machmer like the Marshal. The Marshal says, what might you have thought if you wanted to be super machmer? Yeah. What would you have said? You need shishim keneged?
Salt and the blood.
No, the salt and the blood you do. Fine. You need shishim keneged? The whole piece, because the salt is davuk to the piece. So why don't we say isur davuk? The salt makes the whole piece kanan. So that's what Marshal says, but we don't follow him. Why don't we say it's davuk? The answer is obvious, because it's not davuk. It's just congealed on the surface, but as soon as you put it into the pot, it all melts. It's not really stuck. It's just like on the surface. Everyone knows if you have something with gook on the surface and you put it into boiling water, the gook immediately melts. Therefore, the melach, the blood-filled salt on the outside, is not davuk to the chaticha. As soon as you throw it in, it all melts. So you only need shishim to neged the melach, not neged the chaticha. And you remember, we don't say that since the melech is milstav, idol taima, it's not batel, because it's not osur mach, only if the melech is intrinsically osur, it must be batel. Here, since it's only osur, because it has dam inside, it's batel b'shishim, like dam.
So, what's the Marshal's definition of dam?
You know, it's hard to tell exactly where to draw the line. I mean, this is like somewhat dam. It's hard to tell, like, they seem to be arguing on Metzias, right? The Marshal says, look, the blood's going to get absorbed into the piece first. And the other post would say, no, it's going to melt away first and not be absorbed into the piece first. So are they arguing on Metzias, or are they arguing on, like, the chum, the where to draw the line in Isser Dovuk? What if something is a little Dovuk, so after, like, 2 seconds, it's still on this piece, and then it melts off? So Marshal would say, that's long enough to be Isser Dovuk, and be Chashu Chanan. And the other post would say, nah, we don't have to be so from. That's not a shash of Tanan. So Chora, that's, since we never like to say their argument with Sias, say their argument, where to draw the line, what if it's a little dovuk and it'll stick on for the first 2 seconds? Or substitute any number you wish. Okay, the Ramah continues, V'chol HaKadeira Mitzdarit L'Shishim. This is pretty obvious. The whole, everything in the pot counts towards Shishim, right? If you're taking the meat and putting it in chulent, so everything in the cholent counts towards the shishim, and therefore he comes up with a good kula. He says, as long as the rest of the ingredients in your soup and cholent were as big as the meat, like as long as the meat was less than 50% of your cholent, right? You add up all the water and barley and beans and whatnot, and it's equal to or more than the meat, then you're okay. Why? Because there's an umdana. This is just, they figured out from testing it. A general rule is, the piece of meat itself will be 30 times as big as the bloody salt on its surface. So, if you have twice, if you have the meat plus another, if the meat is, I don't know, it's a big piece of meat, it's 1 quart, giant piece of meat. And there's another quart of stuff in the pot. Since it's a quart, it's 30 times. The meat, piece of meat plus the other stuff will be 2 quarts, 60 times. And it'll be bat b'shishim. So that's the rule of thumb. As long as you have as much other things in your pot as the meat is 30, the other things are another 30, and it's bat b'shishim. Okay, that's a rule of thumb. The elek shishim k'deira neged ha-melech, he says, afilo husam rak b'kli sheni ha-kol aser. Here he has a big chumrah. This is based originally on the, right? The Gemara, I think over here, we're in the, at least in the Havamina here, in Shabbos Daf and Beis and Beis, there's a sheet of Rabbi Huda that says that melach, the tzir, that salty things can cook more easily than non-salty things. And there's a happening word that he means exactly this. Again, that's not what he means, but it still might be true. So the Ramah says that even though klisheni normally you assume is not mevashel, right? Certainly the Ramah and Mechaber held the evidence klisheni was fine. That's only a mild klisheni. I think we mentioned this at the time. But a klisheni that's salty, if you add the power of the salt, even though, remember, we said the salt was not powerful enough to be kroteach. We paskin in sifches that the water would take away the power of the salt and it would be considered non-salty. Yeah, a little salt plus a little heat. Yeah, a little this, a little that, right? It's a little salty and a little hot. So it's not hot enough to be considered kroteach, and it's not salty enough to be considered kroteach. But if you add then that salt, right, the meat has salt on it, and it's in a klisheni, so instead of putting it in a pot on the fire, you just, you know, put it into, I don't know, a chicken soup off the fire for some, or chicken soup in the tureen, or the cholent in the, you know, serving bowl for some reason, whatever the reason may be. The leka she's going to be in the melach. Apilu who's a market klisheni akol aser the miachar sheisha melach vitzir apilu be klisheni mid vashel. That's the chumrah of the Ramah here. That if you add something which is a little salty and a klisheni, that's considered bishol. The salt and the klisheni work together, and it's considered like a kli rishon. And it makes it treif. This is somewhat controversial. The Marshal argues and says no such chumrah, and it's a big machlokes achronim. The shach in the end passes. Pshara. He says if there's hefsta meruba, you can be makel like the Marshal and say no such thing. Klisheni is always okay. If there's no hefsed meruba, then you should not like the Ramah and say salt plus klisheni is a problem. The Rabbi Kiva Eger points out in the edition that I have, Oskot Gimel, I'm not sure if everyone has the edition, but on the Shachs of Kaplan Ches, he says that really this machlokas is only by salt. But if you have vinegar, if instead of salty, it's charith, right? Salt is almost the same, not exactly the same as charifus. If instead of salt you have vinegar in your pot, which is a charif tavshil in your pot, then everyone agrees charifus plus a klisheni will be mevashel. And then he says, even the Marshal would agree, and we should be machmir legamrei, even b'makom Hefsed Meruba. So let's just
summarize that for a moment. If you have a Fisheni plus again, we don't need so much salt that it's Roteach, but some Melach. Here we have the Ramah. Here we have the Maharshal. And here we have the Psak. So if it's salty, the Ramah says Asr. Maharshal says Mutter. And the Shach says Mutter b'makom Hefsed Merubah. If you have Chometz in it, then the quote from the Api Rabbe that Hu Adin Asr. So the assumption is the Ramah would likewise say Asr, and Rabbi Kiva Eger Skiddush is that even the Marshal would admit this is Asr. And that's more powerful, in which case the Psak is Pasha. If everyone says Asr, then it's Asr. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger says more Machmir. I don't know if everyone agrees, but and therefore, Chometz plus Klisheni is for sure Mevashel. This is nothing specifically with Hilchos Melicha. This is a general Yoredeya issue. It says Chometz plus Klisheni, we're Machmir the Gamri. Melach plus Klisheni, we're Machmir, but we're Mekel if there's a Hefsed Merubah. The Ramah continues then. Ubasu Yavi Sheish Lahatar Philip Klibisho, Devada Yeshish and the Gramel Sha'olam Yachar Dekvar Nitya Beish. He says, if after the salting you let the meat sit for a while until it got dry, what does the meat get dry? Somehow the salt like dissolved or fell off. You know, normally meat is very moist after salting. But if you let it sit for a while and it got dried, what does that mean? That means that most of the salt melted away. There's only a little salt left. So if it got dry and there's only a little salt left, and then you accidentally put in your shalit, it's for sure mutter. Because since there's only a little salt, for sure you have shishim connected to salt, no matter what's in your pot. There's only, if it gets a little dry and there's only a little salt left, you definitely have shishim, so it's okay. Then he adds, Aval lechad chile zara filu baser yavi shalavash lo dichu emayim sheyatzu lesbam b'lo adach harkon. But lechad chile, you shouldn't use any excuses. Even if it's a little dried out and you don't see much salt left, there's still a kulshu of salt left there. And therefore, you shouldn't cook it or rinse it in hot water until you do a proper hadacha. And all of these cheshvins of shishim, right? Normally, you have shloshim, and if you have another equal volume, you have shishim. If it's dried out, then you totally have shishim. That's only if it had no hadacha kron at all. This is what was quoted by the Shachar earlier. It's vashkach motor. But even one hadacha b'dievet is totally okay. That's one hadacha b'dievet is okay. If there's zip, and you did nothing afterwards, that's when you have to start cheshvining the numbers. Just means one hadacha achrona. Then he just adds melach shemalchu bo pam achas. Asur l'mloch bo pam sheinit. If you salted the salt once, like you have the salt, use it. You salted once, you might be very cheap and say, "Oh, I'll scrape it off and use it to salt again tomorrow." No, you can't salt it again. Kavach chomer, you certainly can't eat that salt. Meaning, you know, use it to put in your food, to spice your food. Now, there's actually a bit of machlokas. Why, if you salted once, can't you salt again with the same salt? What are the two possible explanations why you can't use the same salt again? One is that it's full of dam, and that dam might go into the next meat. The Ramah seems to hold that way, because he says, you can't salt with a kalachomer, you can't eat it. What's a kalachomer? You can't eat it, because it's full of dam. So one reason is because it's full of dam. But the Shach points out, does he point this out explicitly, or the Rabbi Kivayger points out, there's another reason also. What's the other reason you can't salt with it again?
Not powerful enough.
Exactly, it doesn't work. Besides the fact that it's full of dam, it doesn't work because it only has salt only has so much strength. Again, you have to ask a chemist exactly what the science behind this is. But the salt can do it once. Once the salt was used up once, its saltiness is used up, and it's not in its pristine form, and it doesn't have the koach to salt again.
This comes up. Lechachila, fine, don't use salt. There's one interesting nafkamina, I won't go into it. I didn't put it on the Makoros, but the Pesach Tshuva is for the nafkamina. He says, what if you have salt? Forget about me. You have salt that you salted herring in or something. It says, not full of blood, but it still used up all its koach. And he must say that even used up more koach than salting meat. and then you for sure can't use it again. He wants to assert even the evet maybe. So in its, even if the soul doesn't have dominant, it's still usher because its strength was used up. The nafrin is bidyevet. The shach says we're mekel bidyevet lechatchila rechoshish for these two svaras.
What does the shach say? Lechatchila rechoshish that A, it's balua midam, it's full of blood, and B, pasach kocho, it has no power left. What about bidyevet if you use the same melach salt twice?
Shach seems to imply that bidyevet kemash mitzas be tereschat hashem bidyevet. What does bidyevet mean? You use it salt twice, and
bidyevet im melach bo shenis ukvar.
Right, bidyevet again. This is every bidyevet is different of it. If you salted it again, use the salt again, and you cook that second meat, so it's too late to fix it.
Then he says, we have no problem at all.
It's not true that it lost its power, and it's not. It obviously is true that it's full of dam, but it's not true that that's a problem, so that dam won't go into the second meat, and we don't worry at all. However, Rabbi Kiva Ezer close to Minchas Yaakov, who's a little more mach.
The Minchas Yaakov agrees that lechatchila we have two problems: balua midam and pasach kocho. We're choshesh that number one, it's full of blood, and that blood will go into the second meat.
Number two, it doesn't have power anymore.
Bidyeved, he says, we still choshesh for B, pasach kocho, just not for A.
Bidyevet, we're not choshesh since it's full of blood and it'll trafe up your meat. But we are choshesh, even bidyevet, that it lost its power. If so, what does that mean, l'maisa?
That means that malach bosheinis vinis bashel is usher. Because of reason B.
If you use it to salt a second time and then cook the meat, that salting the second time didn't work. It had no koach. So your meat is trafe.
But malach bosheinis v'shuv molcho old time with regular salt. If you salted it and then you salted it again with regular salt, then it's mutter
because even though the salt had no koach, you salted it again with regular salt. And don't say, but it already stuck dam in there. So we're not choshesh for reason A, that it'll stick the dam back in. So the Michas Yaakov sees the shach is a big heter b'dievet. Once you salt again and cook it, it's mutter. Michas Yaakov says, no, it's just b'dievet. We don't say it stuck dam back in. But it still didn't get the dam out. So the shach is makel the b'dievet, and we say it got the dam out. The Michas Yaakov is only makel the b'dievet. It left the situation the same. It didn't put dam in.
Even if you cooked it, you could use?
What?
Even if you cooked it?
What do you mean after? No, if you cooked it after this.
I'm saying you salt it, then you wash it off and re-salt it again. But now you cook it and salt it after.
Cooking. No. Once you cooked it, it's too late to salt it after. Correct. Then you have to and then cook it. Once you already cooked it, it's too late. Cooking is too late. That just any blood that's there when you cook it is irreparable at this point. Yes? Yeah, but that's the second svar already. First svar is that it's full of blood and we'll put that blood back into the meat. Second svar is that it just doesn't have koach.
And that blood that will win the meat can't come up by another reason?
What?
In the svar, we assume that it's full of blood and it's going to pulse it.
Aha, that is very complicated. Do you say kabolo kach polto by melicha or not? The Mechaz Yaakov assumes not. We'll have to get to it. Okay.
What's the second place of mutter?
You salted it with the same salt again, and then you realize, so you resalted it with good salt. Then you're okay. Because even though the first salt had no koach, the second salt did the trick. And you don't have to worry. The first salt made a treif. That we're not worrying about the diavet. So then it's the Eliyahu's question, which we'll see a little later.
Okay. Sure. But it's a dry piece of meat. You said that the salt goes away. Where are we saying that it goes? What is
it? It just melted and fell on the floor.
Why don't we say that it goes into the piece of meat? Oh, because it's a cliche and a manuka.
Oh, why don't we say it goes? Right, because the assumption is you left in a cliche and a manuka. No, you left in a cliche manuka.
Manuka.
Right. It didn't go back in because it just went out the holes or down the midrone. Okay, one more sif, and this sif is really not about melicha, at least most of it. But it's a very fascinating kultar kula sif. Goy mishamesh v'veis Yisrael v'nasna basar v'kdeir. You left your meat salted, and your goyish, shifcha, your housekeeper, took the meat from where it was salting and put it in the cholent. V'ein yadum hidicho. But you don't know if the goy washed it afterwards or not. Then what do? And let's assume there wasn't shisha, right? Otherwise it would be an easy shot. Right, what do you do? Can you trust that your goyish housekeeper washed the meat after Malicha or not? So, there are, the truth is that some achronim have three, but let's deal with for now. They look in the Dagon Evava, quoted by the Pesach Tshuva here, maybe. There are two possible reasons you could trust them. Anyone remember from, not going to be exactly, but parallelly, Simon Tzadik Ches. One reason he's quoting here from the Smag and the Smach, im yodea hagoyim minig Yisrael, som chal devarev, im hayasham Yisrael yotze v'nechnas, o shum katan ben das. If the guy knows that Jews require rinse washing the meat after Malicha, and there was a Jew walking in and out, or even a katan, but a katan who's old enough to, it could be a 12-year-old, 11-month-year-old, who's old enough to know what's what, then you trust the guy. Why? What's the principle? Anyone? In one word? What? Exactly. The principle of mirtat. Mirtat means he's afraid. This is how all hashgachas work. The concept of yotze v'nichnas. Right? If the guy... Now, you need two conditions to be afraid. Number one, there has to be someone to be afraid of. Number two, he has to know that what he's doing is wrong. Right? If the guy doesn't know the laws of kashrus, then he can't be afraid because he doesn't know what to do. If he knows the laws of kashrus, but no one's coming to check on him, then he's not going to be afraid, because what does he care? But if he knows that the Jews are makbid, and he knows he might get caught, then he's afraid, and we trust that for Isurim. So if there's a Jew coming in and out, he's afraid of getting caught. Someone might see him picking up the meat and putting in the cholent without melicha, without hadacha, and then he'll get fired. So therefore, since he's afraid of losing his job, he will make sure not to get caught, and he'll wash the meat before he puts it into the cholent. That's the heter of mirsas. No, he was already in the melicha, meaning I left my meat salted. I come back,
how do you know?
And I find it in the cholent. And he says, oh, I put it in the cholent. Right? He says, I put it in the cholent. Of course I rinsed it, I washed it afterwards. After all, I know the halacha. I know the laws of kashrus. You have to wash it. Right? Some of these guys are very good about this. I remember when this is actually an interesting, probably a rabbinic kind of practical rabbinic thing. When I used to have a housekeeper, whatever you call it, when I lived in Chutz Laaretz, and she was like super makbid on laws of kashrus. She was makbid much more than the halacha requires, right? She wasn't a big talachacha or anything, or she wasn't Jewish. And she was like super duper makbid and like all these things. Like she would think that it got traced off if it was like cold and whatever. And, she was like really, really afraid. She didn't want to mess us up. So the sort of practical rabbinics part is that I was always masking to her, meaning I never said, oh, no, this really isn't trape, it's a cliche-y, it's this, that. Once you start, if people don't understand what's going on, once you start making chilukin, then they don't take it seriously. So anytime she, was had her chumras and chuchas kashrus, I agreed with her. And then when she went home, I told her I kashrus and I just put it back in the silverware drawer or whatever. But that's an important aura about how to deal with people who don't appreciate the finer distinctions. But whatever. Some people are... take things seriously. Now, we can't assume, it's very nice, we're very liberal to say, oh, we assume that everyone's a nice person and takes everything seriously and et cetera, and respects everyone else's religion. No, that's not how the world works. But if someone's afraid of being caught, and they know that their follow bias is makbid on it, then no worker wants to be caught breaking the rules. And even though, obviously, sometimes workers embezzle and all kinds of things, but we can be so much on the very large road that workers are afraid of being caught breaking the rules. That's mirtat.
In your case, where you're in a relationship,
If you're not yotze b'nichnas, you can't be so much just because you think they're trustworthy.
Even if you have a relation.
Now you could ask exactly how yotze b'nichnas do you need to be, but sometimes your mom, if you're out of town, whatever, you're clearly not yotze b'nichnas. I think it's a problem. You can't just trust people's dam. Whatever, there's the tshuvas about this, but. Normally, we can't say you just trust someone. You have to be yotzei v'nichnas. Now, obviously, there's different levels of yotzei v'nichnas, and there's probably room for applying some common sense and intuition in terms of, you know, some guys are really slimy, you have to be yotzei v'nichnas all the time. Some guys seem more trustworthy. But you have to have that fear factor. Right now, again, some people might be very conservative temperaments. Even if you're yotzei v'nichnas once in a while, they'll be afraid. Other people are more risk-takers, and... you know, you might have to yield to be nechnas more to impress it on them. But I don't think you can just say, stam, I trust someone because they're a nice person.
Okay, so if you had a piece of meat that you never did anything to, left, came home, and it was enjoyed, and said, oh, yeah, I didn't believe, but I ended up with everything.
It might depend on the circumstances. It's certainly possible if there's a real mirtab, meaning they know they'd be expected to do it and they'd be in big trouble if they didn't, then maybe, but I don't know, it's hard for me to imagine that scenario really working out. I don't know, sorry. Anyway, but in this case, it's probably Maisim B'chol Yom. So if it's mirtat, it's okay. Is there another tav l'hakol besides mirtat? So the Rama adds, this is a funny Rama, I'm not going to go into all the hitlab to yotz of the Nosei Kalim, why the Rama seems to be a non sequitur here. It says, Uvechad min ayusagi, either one is good enough. It's a little funny because the Chavar didn't mention two different options. But let's leave that for now. Since either one is good enough, either Meseach Levi Tumo, or if a Jew, even a Katan, obviously not a three-year-old, but a Katan who knows the score, is coming in and out, he's Mirtat. Mihu just ends in Micha Lagoishaloyadicho below Rashusam who over Altvarav Asr Dachazina Dana Mirtat being Lismokamkedvar. However, if you told the guy, don't put the meat in the chum without me, right? You were careful. You said, I don't want you rinsing it. Don't do anything. And the guy anyway is all chutzpah and says, oh, don't worry, I rinsed it and then put it in. Then once he violated your instructions, we see he's not a Mirtat. He's a chutzpah type. He's not the fearsome he's not the fearful type. And therefore, we don't trust him anymore. Even if you didn't catch him doing something trait, that's the chish. If you caught him feeding your trait, you caught him putting the meat in without hadacha, then of course you see this guy's not afraid. This guy's a chutzpahdeh. Even if all you did was catch him violating your personal rules. I said, my personal rules is I'm the only one who washes the meat. And he says, oh, I washed the meat for you. Since he violated your personal rules, that also shows he's not afraid because he violated your rules. Once he violates your rules once, he loses the fear factor. You see, this guy's a chutzpahdik. And there are plenty of workers who are just chutzpahdiks and don't mind violating the rules and think they'll get away with it. Oh, maybe it's not logical. And what gives them the right to think they'll get away with it? So human beings are. Some people aren't logical. That's why they do stupid things. So this guy's obviously a human being who's not properly careful. He probably drives without a seatbelt also. So you can't trust him anymore. And you can't even trust him with yotzei v'nichnas. Just one thing, this happens to Ashkochas all the time, right? The Shkiv is Yotzei v'nichnas. He catches the guy doing it once. So in real Ashkochas, it's unclear. Sometimes they give a second chance, etc. I'm not going to go into that. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of details. But what it seems in this Ramad, once you catch the guy violating the rules once, and it doesn't matter if he's actually feeding trait or just violating the rules of the Hashkacha, right? Even if Taka, all he did was violated your rules. You can't prove it was trait. But you can't prove he violated the rules. Then Yotzei v'nichnas doesn't work anymore. He's not afraid, and either he has a mashgiach to meet or he loses the hashgacha. Again, from what I've heard, people seem to be naked on that, but, you know, and I've heard of stories where they give the guy a second chance, and then he violates it again. But sounds from here like he only gets one chance. Sorry, Elliot.
In terms of the attitude, is it necessary that he has to not listen to doctor? For example, go back to cleaning a woman. I had a situation where I asked a woman not to wash the dishes, said it makes you do it. She wanted to show how particular she was, how she was such a good, she knew all the TV doctors, she washed dishes anyway. So why clean her? She shouldn't wash dishes. But she claims that she did it properly. So
that's exactly the case with the Ramah. You told him not to wash it, and he claims he did it properly.
There's two ways of telling him not to wash it.
It might depend on the circumstances, but you know, if you made the kashrus rules clear that no one else washes dishes in this house but you, and someone washed dishes, then... Right, no, then that wouldn't apply. I mean, if you didn't show that you're makbid, then there's no reason for her to be afraid. But whatever, every case is...
I'm saying, there's one thing when the guy says he doesn't care, and he's trying to, he's trying to show he cares so much, to show that he doesn't do it well. So would that be...
Maybe. You have to analyze each case differently. I'm not going to paska right now.
I'm not going to remind you. Do you still believe him as the other Bituma, or is this from your
Lachori shouldn't.
He says Asa, but then he says only because there's no Mirtah.
Right, Lachori's talking about when he's not Mesiel Bituma, because usually they're not Mesiel Bituma. So Lachori, that's a different Zach. That's what we just have to get
Mesiel
Bituma.
You wouldn't trust him at all for anything?
No, you just wouldn't trust him in Mirtat. No, Lachori, you wouldn't. If he's not afraid, he's not afraid. If he's a daredevil, then he's a daredevil, right? He's not going to be a daredevil only about one thing, not another thing. I wouldn't trust him with anything anymore. I wouldn't, I wouldn't leave him around my credit card. Okay. So even if my credit card was like hidden in a drawer someplace under the socks, I wouldn't trust this guy. Okay. The one fact we haven't discussed is Mesiach Levitumo. That's a big machlokes. Whether the Rama is correct, without getting into machlokes about what the Mechaber meant, although the Beis Yosef seems to approve the Mesiach Levitumo idea. Is it true? Is the Rama right that you trust Mesiach Levitumo here or not? So we know the general rule is, Chazal said, Ein goy Mesiach Levitumo Neman Ela Ve'edos Isha. Right, he's only Naaman for Agona, special kula, but normally he's not Naaman. But what do we say? Anyone know what we normally pass about this? He's normally not Naaman for, what is he? Here's Mesiach Lefitumo, Naaman, Eino Naaman. So they say he's Naaman for Eidos Isha. That means an Agona to say your husband died. He's not Naaman for regular Isurim. But what chiluk do we make? We paskin. He's not Naaman for Isurim. De Oraisa. Except, even though Ishas and Ishas are right, but I'm going to make, we trust the Gunny Sefer Bituma for the rice, right? The guy says, oh, my army buddy, Jake Schwartz, and he's Mesiel Bituma. He's telling him, that guy, Nebuch, he, got hit by shrapnel and died straight on the battlefield, and we couldn't even get his body because we were under such fire. So, okay, so then you believe Mesiel, but for normally Surim the rice, you don't. But for Isurim, the Rabbanon, we paskin you do believe him. Now is Dam an Issur D'Oraisa or an Issur D'Rabbanan? Even Dam Heivor and Shapirish is also D'Oraisa. But what's the factor here? Gemara Menachos Daf Chaf Aleph. Dam Shemilcho. Dam that was cooked or salted is no longer Roil Mizbeach. Is that still also D'Oraisa? So the Gemara in Menachos Chaf Aleph says it's not also D'Oraisa, it's only D'Rabbanan. That's the Machlokas Rishonim. Rashi and the Rambam say also D'Oraisa. The other Rishonim, meaning the majority of the Rishonim, even though Rashi and the Rambam are very important Rishonim, but they're still a small minority. Most Rishonim say Dam Shebishel, Dam Shemilcho is only also D'Rabbanan. The Gemara says only also Drabbanan. That's why most Rishonim passed away. Rashi and Rambam make no kimta. That was talking only about the blood of Chatos Pinos or the blood of Chatos. I think the Chatos Pinos. Lo Mishaneh. It wasn't talking about regular Dam. Okay, so that's Machlokas whether the rice Drabbanan. We paskin, like most Rishonim, that Dam after it was salted or cooked is Aser, only Aser Midrabbanan, which means that in this case, there's two reasons only us to drop on. Number one, you already salted the meat. You just don't know if it was washed afterwards. So Dom that was salted is drop on. Number two, it's now in the cholent, so it's now cooked also. It's salted and cooked. So it's for sure only an Isser Dirabana. So that's the logic of the Ramah. The Ramah says that here you can trust a goy b'seil b'tumo. He says innocently, right? He says, he just innocently mentions to his friend, he's just here over here and talking to his friend or talking to you, and he says, you should know that the rope of the bucket ripped because after I drew the water that I used to wash the meat, right, the rope ripped and we need to replace it. So I'm simply too much telling you whatever. So then there are muscles we can trust him. It's only Mr. Drabunin. So, but this is a big machlokes. big machlokes. A poskim, the Taz and the Shach, all.
I think there's a few too on that case because he knows what the law is.
Oh, good. Let's come back to that in a second. Okay, good. Come back to that in a second. So there are two issues here. Number one is Mesech Vitumo Neman?
What are the two issues? Let's review.
Number one. Is a Mesiach Lefitumo Neman?
So the Rama says yes, but the Mechaber actually doesn't seem to say it. Maybe the Mechaber holds no. Why would you hold no? So the Shach says here, because what about Iser Drabbanan with a Cheskas Iser? What about Iser Drabbanan with this Cheskas Iser? We're here, this Cheskas Iser. There used to be Dam. We know there was Dam. The question is, was it removed or not? So here it's an Iser Rabbanan, but it's Cheskas Iser. Is it going to see if we tumo Neman against Cheskas Iser? So, the Taz seems to assume, so what's the Rama saying? The Rama says he's Neman. What is the sheet of the Rama? So, at least according to the Taz, he's Neman. He's Neman, even though it's against Cheskas Iser. Mesiach Lituma works for Nisra Rabbanan, even against Cheskas Iser. However, the Shach is a little more macher. He also agrees he's Neman. Here we have Shat of the Machaber that is Eino Neman. Right, Shad and the Mechaber didn't give Nemanus to Mesiach Lefitumo. Why not? Because it's against the Cheskas Iser. But the Rama did give him Nemanus. Why? So the Tanja says he's Neman against the Cheskas Iser. The Shach says no. You need another factor. Neman, if there's an additional factor, what's the additional factor? Of Makbid. On the Kirusa Kapti of cleanliness. Goyim are makbid on cleanliness. It's cleanliness to wash the meat that's full of salt, of bloody salt, before you cook it. So therefore, he says, you know what? The Mesiach Lefitumo plus the fact that most goyim are makbid on cleanliness can outweigh the Cheskas Iser. So that's a bit of a machloket. The Mechaber sounds like, since Cheskas Iser, Mesiach Lefitumo is not Neman, even though it's Drabbanan. Drama sounds like he is Neman. That's how the Taz takes him. But the Shach makes up Shara, says he's not Neman Stam. He wouldn't be Neman Stam. Stam, we wouldn't trust him against the Cheskas Iser. But since there's an additional factor here that it's cleanliness, and even Goyim are usually try to be makbid on cleanliness, right? It has nothing to do with what religion you are. Most people are makbid on cleanliness. Therefore, we believe him against the Cheskas Iser. The Mesiach Lefitumo plus the cleanliness, the Chazaka that most people are makbid on cleanliness, outweighs the Cheskas Iser. I don't know if they have something equivalent to a Goy Shiva Bachar. I don't know what we would do. But I don't think they do, so it's okay. It's a college student.
It's a weird thing to sit in makbid on cleanliness, considering the times these guys lived in Europe and what Europeans actually. Knowing this morning was like not to have water, it's. When people had to go draw buckets and stuff, I don't know if these guys could be makbid.
Okay.
So
no, no, that was cleanliness for them. They still had their standards of cleanliness.
For instance, can you have a precedent for a guy who believes that if I don't know why, for a guy based on his own religious conditions, who never lied about it?
Maybe, but keep in mind, there's only with Mesiach Lefitumo. Okay, the other question which was brought up is number two. Is this a case of Mesiach Lefitumo? This is a big machlokas aposkin. The Shach Sukkot Mem Gimel deals with this, and the Taz deals with this as well. Maybe that's a little earlier, before Sukkot and Chav Dalet. Is this a case of Mesiach Lefitumo in the first place? The 1 second. Yeah. So what if he knows the halacha, but is Mesiach Lefitumo? Meaning, if he knows the halacha and he's telling you a halacha, that's clearly not misiyah b'tumah. I'm telling you it's kosher because I washed it. If he doesn't know the halacha at all, then that's obviously misiyah b'tumah. If he doesn't know the halacha and he says he washed it, that's clearly misiyah b'tumah. But what if he knows the halacha but he appears to be speaking innocently? He knows the halacha, but he's just, I'm telling you about the broken rope in the well. Right? But it still could be this is all an elaborate trick because he knows the halacha. So what do you say in that case? That's a machlokas right here. The shach and the taz say he's naman, even if he knows the halacha, if it appears to you that he's speaking innocently, he's naman. And they bring a raya from the halacha that Yisrael mummer is naman that Edus Isha Mesiyach Bitumo. Ah, every Yisrael, even if he's a mummer, knows that a woman can't remarry unless her husband dies, so he knows the halacha. So, but the Shem Shmaitza, quoted by Rabbi Kiva Eger here, says, Eino naman, he says, no, that's a special halacha by a good. But normally, once you know the halacha, he's not naman. So halacha l'maisa, can someone be Mesiyach Bitumo if they appear to be innocent but they know the halacha? Really, you don't know what to think. On the one hand, they appear to be speaking innocently. On the other hand, this could be a trick because they know the halacha. That's a big machlokas aposka. They put also the bach and the prisha. Big machlokas achronim, whether to trust the goy misiyach v'tumo if he also knows the halacha. Okay, the last inyan discussed here, which is the taz, the end of the taz, and the nekudas hakesef, is, and this is quoted actually all over halacha, is what if a woman cooked meat and she doesn't remember if she salted it or not? She cooked meat, she doesn't remember if she salted it or not. So the taz is makel. Why is the taz makel? She has the chicken soup. She says, oh my gosh, did I salt the chicken or did I not salt the chicken? Says, I'm makel. Why is the taz makel? Anyone want to guess? Shouldn't be too hard to figure out. Something around the cooler, because it's cooked now, right? Mimanasha. If it's not cooked yet, then just salt it again. If it's already cooked, then it's a safi drabanan, right? Damsha bishlo is midrabanan. We pass it against the Rambam and the Ri. So hold that thought. Taz is not per se, but we'll keep it. Mekel, because safi drabanan lekula. The shach and the kudus hakesef comes up with a whole bunch of reasons. Why the Taz is wrong. One of the reasons he says is Cheskes Isser. This is not just a Sabi Darbanan. It used to have Dam, so it still has Dam. But the Taz knew that. And the Taz answers you have a row Mochen. You have a row of Malicha, meaning she usually does Malicha. So Alpi Rov, she followed her habit. Anyone know where else in Halacha we find that Alpi Rov, we assume you followed your habit? Exactly, davening, right? Uchsatam zol speisechel, you don't remember, or rather, uchsatam zol speisechel, l'man yibri meichem. Now you don't remember if it was the first uchsatam, it's like, once it, she said, l'man yibri meichem, we assume you followed your habit. So she's a from lady, the last 30 years, she's been salting meat. So he said, the road that she followed her chazaka beats the cheskes esher, but the shachs comes back and says, nope, no road, because robe that if she salted, she would remember. There's another robe against that. The robe is that people remember what they do. It says, in Kriya Shema, so unfortunately we all know the world we live in. No one remembers the davening kavanah, this, that, whatever. But salting, he says it's a big maisa. Of course, you don't remember if you turn the light on or off. Right? At Ella's house, I don't remember if you turn the light off. But you remember if you showered this morning or not, because it's a big maisa. A big maisa, you remember. So on the one is a robe she would have salted. The other hand is a robe that if she had salted, she would remember. Because it took an hour. So therefore, those cancel each other out. You're left with Cheskes Esser. Shach also brings up some other tainos, which we won't go into now, but should be reminiscent to us. He says, it's really a suffix to Oraisa, right? Shemis Galgel the Drabanan. What do you mean? The suffix is whether it had salt before you, whether it was had done before you cooked it or not. Then you cooked it. It's a suffix to Oraisa that then became a Drabanan. And he also says, and we'll remember the shach, he didn't say this quite explicitly in Space Naked, but he says, Ein Lasos
Suffolk Rabbana Lakula Nismara. Just like you can't make a steak on your own, you can't make your own Suffolk Rabbana Lakula. Therefore, we have to be Machmer. So the Shach doesn't like the Suffolk Rabbana Lakula. The Taz obviously would respond to all these. He would say, you can't make a Suffolk Rabbana Lakula on your own. Like we saw most of him said about steak. What would he say about Fepis, the right to turn into a Drabbanan? Maybe he'd be Maker, like those who say, since you only realize the Suffolk after it was Drabbanan, it's okay. And what we do with the Cheskas Esser, he'd say, roll people's salt, and they still forget. So Lemaisa, this is just, I mean, this comes up all over Shas, people quote this to use in other similar cases. It's important to know, but there's a lot more to be behind, but that's all we'll do for now. Okay, we'll continue Ritz Hashem tomorrow.